Welcome to the only radio program with a structuralist base, Clockwork Wireless 90 FM. That's Renaissance and Northern Lights. Clockwork Wireless, 90 FM. Hot news just in, by the way. Hot news just coming in on the telex here. There's going to be another election on July the 11th. But don't worry, it's in Australia. Elections are still very much in the news. There was an election in Albania recently, and the result was, for the ruling Communist Party, 3 million votes... and the opposition party, one vote. That's absolutely true. I was thinking, no doubt the chap who got the one vote will be demanding proportional representation. Speaking of which, there was a good cartoon by Hector Breeze in the Daily Express the other day, which had a couple of city gents in Parliament Square, and one of them's hailing a taxi with his umbrella, and the other fellow turns to him and says, I'm afraid that taxi's already taken. It's got the SDP in it. I should think probably Dr. Owen didn't find that very funny. David Owen, it turned out, a man whose time manifestly didn't come. Not so much cometh the hour, cometh the man, more the wilderness of man's broken dream. Tremendous. Next week, Proust and Descartes. an exposition. Actually, aren't Proust and Descartes in the men's doubles at Wimbledon this week? I don't know. One of the most interesting quotes of the week was Norman Fowler saying he intends to run the Ministry of Employment the same way he ran the health service. I suppose that means he'll be closing 38 job centres next week. Well, I watched two very odd programmes on TV the other night. I'm not sure if you saw them, but if you did, you'll certainly recognise the Royal It's a Knockout, where a bunch of Wallys dressed up as vegetables. Or was it a bunch of vegetables dressed up as Wallys? I can't be sure. Extraordinary programme. I saw Jonathan Ross talking to George Michael on the TV the other night, asking rather direct and personal questions like, "Do you wear a condom, George?" I'd have been tempted to punch him on the nose, I think, but George answered the question. And yes, he does, by the way. But I was struck by the resemblance of George Michael with a cartoon character. And for a while, I couldn't work out who he reminded me of. And then it came to me. It's the bloke in Popeye with the designer stubble. And I was trying to remember that chap's name. Is it Wimpy?
Pluto,
that's it. Who was Wimpy? Who was another guy?
Wimpy was the guy that had the hamburgers.
Oh, I suppose, yes. That would follow, really. Yes, Pluto, good. Well, coming up, we return to our review of the election, where we had to leave it last week, when we were taken from you, not so much on a chariot of fire, but by more earthly means. Well, coming up, we've got some good music. A quick mention of one or two of you who have written in this week, and later the bizarre world of the intrepid Birdman, of whom we just had a short preview there. Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE14SL is the address if you would like to write in and get yourself mentioned on the programme next week. One of my favourite bands at the moment, purely on the basis of their name, if nothing else, is a fabo group called Pop Will Eat Itself, which is probably one of the best names around the moment. They're riding high in the independent charts at the moment with their wonderfully daft EP of cover versions. This is Pop Will Eat Itself and their cover of the appalling Sig Sig Sputnik's Love Missile F-111.
Sleeping.
Circle Wizard, Pop Will Eat Itself, and Love Missile F111, riding high in those independent charts. And I promise not to try not to play more than one weird record a week in the future. I see Ian Botham actually is castigated, to coin a phrase, in the press today, playing sensibly in the Test match yesterday, which is rather bizarre because usually they tell him off for having a swipe. Well, as I say, thank you for those of you who have written in over the last week or so while we've been here or thereabouts. I just particularly wanted to mention at the moment a chap called Andrew Yates, who wrote in this week from London SW6 and says some very complimentary things about myself and Birdman's programmes. But he wanted to know the address of the newspaper that we feature from time to time called the Weekly World News, which will be making its return next week. You'll be delighted to hear we'll be featuring that again. And I'll be writing to Andrew to tell him the address of that, and anybody else who'd like to write in and know further details about the Weekly World News, I'll be very pleased to tell them. And as Andrew asked so nicely, I'll be sending him a complimentary copy of the Weekly World News. So thanks for writing in, Andrew, and all the nice things you said. And perhaps we'll even run a competition next week with the Weekly World News editions of as the prize. Well, the last week has been a major high point for horse racing enthusiasts and followers of fashion with the Royal Ascot meeting. It's not actually so much fun if you live in the area as I do, in a little village about a mile or so from Ascot, as the whole of East Berkshire comes to a halt for the week. There's much entrepreneurial enterprise in evidence locally around my way. Car parking spaces are at a premium, and so one chap who lives near me put up a sign saying cars could park in his garden for £25 for the day. And wait for this, some people actually took up his offer. About 10 people actually parked in his garden during the week and paid £25 each for the privilege. Anyway, on Tuesday evening I was trying to drive through Ascot, but the police were holding the traffic up to allow a limousine an easy passage through the congestion. Well, fair enough, I thought it must be the Queen or Prince Charles, but no, as the limousine edged past me, there was Joan Collins and her chum Bungalow Bill Wiggins sitting in the back. This chap is apparently called Bungalow Bill because he's got nothing upstairs but plenty. Well, I don't think we need to pursue that. Anyway, this Bungalow Bill fellow has been telling his life story in The Sun this week. I didn't read it. I didn't have the 5 seconds necessary to spare. But anyway, let's return to the election, something we were talking about last week. Most commentators expected it to be Neil Kinnock who would have trouble with his voice during the campaign. But I caught Mrs. Thatcher with not only a frog in her throat, but several tadpoles too.
We have been tackling that, you know, quietly for a very long time. I remember when I went on summer holiday 2 years ago, I had only been there one day, and straight away I was called up. Excuse me.
Have a glass of water, yes.
About the Mexican debt problem. We tackled that and then the Brazil debt problem. Well, we are tackling them calmly on a case-by-case basis. And I believe that's the way we shall continue.
And she did continue on and on and on. This is where we were so rudely interrupted last week, listening to the Conservative Central Office House Band. Clockwork Wireless, 90 FM.
Yeah.
it's the appropriately named Not Sensibles and I'm in Love with Margaret Thatcher, which is not to be taken as a personal endorsement. But I wouldn't like anyone to think that I'm biased against conservatism. I've got a lot of time for the Tories. A lot of time. In fact, I'd give them 25 years in Wormwood Scrubs. Well, many people may agree with the wonderfully acerbic and witty American writer, H.L. Mencken, who wrote, "Letting politicians govern the country is like running the zoo from the monkey cage." And Mencken also wrote that the saddest life is that of a politician. His failure is ignominious and his success disgraceful. A sort of no-win situation, as they say. I see that Coral's bookmakers paid out £105,000 to a customer in Bournemouth who put £100,000 on the Tories to win at odds of 6-1 on, but that bet was eclipsed by Mr. Jim Kwan, a chip shop owner, who staked £60 on a 7-stage accumulator that has won him £20,000. Back in January, Mr. Kwan correctly predicted the outcome of the Ladbroke Hurdle Race in Leopardstown, the Mercantile Snooker Classic, the American Super Bowl, the Cheltenham Festival Champion Hurdle, the First Division Football Championship, the Scottish Premier Division title, and finally, the general election. So Mr. Kwan will no doubt be toasting Mrs. Thatcher tonight, but now let's see how many people voted again.
In the general election is now well underway, and by the time the polling stations close at 10 o'clock tonight, 30 people are expected to have turned out.
Means that in a free society, any political group must be free to make to meet at election time in support of its nominated candidates, however loathsome their wives may be. Now, their views may be, rather.
I should say so. A voice of sanity now from America. Some thought-provoking lyrics from Jackson Browne, the title track from his album Lawyers in Love.
I think my heart must just be strong.
the excellent Jackson Browne and Lawyers in Love. Clockwork Wireless, and we're on 90 FM. Yes, we really are. Intrepid Birdman coming later. And he'll have Hillard's Hot Gossip, I gather. Let me give you that address again in case you didn't have time to write it down earlier on and perhaps you'd like to write to us. I really would like you to write to us. In fact, you know, if you'd like to write in just to tell us that you're there, or perhaps you'd like us to say hello to you and your fellow listeners, some of your chums, next week, we'll certainly do that for you. Or if you've got anything to tell us about the programmes, anything at all, really, we would be delighted to hear from you. So the address is Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Posho, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE14SL. That's our address, and we want to hear from you. So get to it. Some other images from the election. This is a Michael Heseltine on TV. This is quite extraordinary. I saw him on TV making a speech with the normal hair flying wild and these new half-moon spectacles that he's now taken to wearing. And it instantly reminded me of a TV programme from the early 60s when I was just a little squidger. There was a programme on called Mr. Pastry, and older listeners may recall this. It starred Richard Hearn, who died quite recently, I seem to recall, on Children's Hour. And it usually ended up with flour flying everywhere and people getting drenched with buckets of water. It's rather like a political rally, really, I suppose. Well, something else, a couple of other things I spotted in the election campaign. I saw Lord Young on TV saying unemployment is a problem because one in four of the unemployed are illiterate, when, of course, it should be one in four is illiterate. And that's rather ironic as he was talking about illiteracy, but still. Another one I saw, Mrs. Thatcher saying, I think it was an interview with Sir Robin Day the other day before the election, Mrs. Thatcher saying that the City of London is more foremost than New York. And of course you can't be more foremost than anything because it's an absolute term, like perfect or unique. You know, you can't be more unique than anything else. You just are unique or not. But then, who am I to lecture on grammar? Terry Anderson, that's who, on Clockwork Wireless 90 FM. And returning again to the sharp, pointed pen of H.L. Mencken, the American writer, he said the true relationship between the journalist and the politician should be as the dog to the lamppost. And if you're you read the heavy political bias in our newspapers, you'll probably agree that it's unequivocally proven. But not every journalist gets his own way in a political interview as we move from the British scene into the less revealing world of African politics.
Mr. Bander, what is the purpose of your visit?
Well, I've been asked by the Secretary of State to come here.
Have you come here to ask the Secretary of State a firm date for Nyasaland's independence?
I won't tell you that.
When do you hope to get independence?
I won't tell you that.
Dr. Bander, when you get independence, are you as determined as ever to break away from the Central African Federation?
Need you ask me that question at this stage?
Well, this stage is as good as any other stage. Why do you ask me why I shouldn't ask you this question at this stage?
Haven't I said that enough for everybody to be convinced that I mean just that?
Dr. Bander, if you break with the Central African Federation, how will you make out economically? After all, your country isn't really a rich country.
Don't ask me that. Let's leave that to me.
But which way is your mind working?
Which way? I won't tell you that.
Where do you hope to get economic aid from?
I won't tell you that.
Are you going to tell me anything?
Nothing.
Are you going to tell me why you've been to Portugal?
That's my business.
In fact, you're going to tell me nothing at all?
Nothing at all.
So it's a singularly fruitless interview.
Well, it's up to you.
Thank you very much.
A little touch of irony in that interviewer's voice there, I think. I can cope. I can cope with this pressure. Clockwork Wireless, 90 FM, and the address Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE14SL. the excellent Suzanne Vega from her first album, not her latest one, which is just out. And that's Small Blue Thing, which couldn't be said for Mrs. Thatcher's majority, of course. Who am I? I don't know. One of the hardest jobs to fill successfully at the Department of Environment has, by tradition, that of sports minister, which is hardly surprising considering some MPs' attitudes to sport. As Frank Keating reported in The Guardian recently, in 1966, when England won the World Cup at football, the Spectator carried a sneering "What's all the fuss about?" piece by the editor, whose name was Nigel Lawson. And he wrote wearily, "Does it mean anything except we've got a good football team? Probably not, although I'd like to draw the moral that there's nothing wrong with Britain. It's just our politicians that let us down." Well, he said it, didn't he? And still staying on the subject of sport, amongst all the plethora of election coverage, it became clear that BBC news readers don't have much of a grasp of sport either. David Dimbleby, reading a couple of football results early in the campaign, said that Swindon had beaten Gillingham 2-0, which really is a case of news at tennis, I suppose. And Martin Lewis, referring to Dundee United, who play at a ground called Tannadice, told us that there was a big game tonight at Tannadice, which sounds like somewhere on the Costa del Sol instead of Dundee. But then, after all, who says that sport and politics don't mix?
Looks like a close struggle in Headington Ward, where the retiring Conservative Mrs. Kathleen Ellis faces Labour's Mr. Roger Liddell. Last year, Labour regained the seat by only 149 runs. Iffley Ward stayed faithful to Conservatives last year, but only by 38 votes,
indeed. Still, I see that the Tory MP, Geoffrey Dickins, has been re-elected. What's he offering the voters this time?
Mr. Speaker, I am seeking to do a favour for every woman in the United Kingdom.
I say. But finally, let's hear what Dennis Healey has to say about the whole affair.
Well, first let me say, we don't necessarily borrow anything here. This is what's called a standby credit. What the hell is that? What?
It's the Hascon's fire alarm.
Really?
Dennis Healey in his usual robust manner there. Now, here's a tune that Cecil Parkinson has been humming to himself all this weekend.
I see our side. Now I know
That's okay. So I felt a surge in the marginals there. So I'll go to the doctor about it. Well, that is almost drawing a veil over a general election coverage. I think I'll pass that joke on to Frankie Howard. Almost draws a veil over our election coverage for 1987. But not quite. you possibly didn't manage to see the Red Wedge Tour, which was going around the country in support of the Labour Party. Prior to the campaign, they were mainly sticking to marginal seats. Some of the best jokes that were told on that tour were the non-political ones, so we're not going to be too controversial here. Two of the gags I picked up, there were two old guys in a pub watching these students play chess, and one says to the other, "Well, that's a stupid game." And the guy says, "Why is that?" "Well, because you can see what the other bloke's got." And Arnold Brown, who's a strange Scottish comedian, came up with quite a good joke that I liked. He said, "I don't believe in banks. I keep all my money under the mattress. After all, when did you last see a queue outside a mattress?" A view with which I have a lot of sympathy. Clock Clock Wireless, 90 FM, coming up later on. The intrepid Birdman. And he'll be popping in a bit later on to tell us exactly what's happening in his programme. Let me just tell you that address once more. Hope you're not getting too tired of it. It's Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE14SL. Really would like to hear from you, as I continually say. And even if it's just to let us know you're there and perhaps you'd like us to say hello to you here this time next week. Delighted to do it for you.
As the night hits you, as you shift along the floor, I find it hard to place my face. How did I come to be here anyway? It's terribly vague. Thank you.
possibly the greatest woman ever to walk the fields of England. Exaggerating slightly there, Kate Bush from the first album, The Kick Inside, and Oh, To Be In Love. Quite a good state to be in, I imagine. Coming up later, as we said, the intrepid Birdman. And he is here with us now to reveal himself to us.
Hello, Jones.
Hello there, Dan. Very well, thank you. And having a little in-depth discussion about the merits of Kate Bush there while that was playing.
Yes. So I fell in love with Kate Bush at a very early age. Well, I was anyway. I'm not sure if she was. Can you promise me that we're not going to hear anything else about general elections for at least the next 4 years?
Yes, I certainly hope so.
So do I, indeed.
I enjoyed the full panoply of it myself. I enjoy all the comings and goings of politics, but I think we can do without it for a few years now.
You actually sat up all night and watched all that, didn't you?
I stayed up to the very bitter end. About 4:05, BBC went off the air with Robin Dade sort of slightly dozing in his chair and Peter Snow still striding purposefully across the studio, waving his arms and saying, oh, look, this is where the Labour Party had to get to. They had to get the red splodge down to here, but oh, dear me. And
excellent stuff. Yes. Well, I actually thought that they looked more like Spitting Image than Spitting Image did.
Yes, but I did miss the programme. You said you watched it yourself. I was out having a drink or two at the time.
Splendid stuff. Anyway, coming up on the Intrepid Birdman show this evening, if anyone's actually interested...
I'm sure they will be.
Do-it-yourself video nasties. We actually went out and made a film this weekend, the living, dead, flesh-eating zombies from outer space, and we're going to tell you just how to do it yourself.
Is that an X certificate?
I should say it was very definitely double X certificate this week.
A double X programme.
Worse than usual.
And Hilly's hotspots as well.
Yes, Hilly's got all the hotspots she ever had. In fact, they've been diminished only slightly by the raging cold and the running nose that she's had all through the week. In fact, we should have put her on the video nasty. It probably frightened most people out of her.
I must say, it's been very disappointing because usually Hilly goes out and gets some chocolate cake while we're doing the programmes here, but due to being incapacitated by her sad cold, we're without chocolate cake this week. So.
The return of the living, dead, cake-eating zombie doesn't sound quite as good, really, does it?
But that's all to come with the Intrepid Birdman, starting in... Oh, just over about 10 minutes' time. I really can cope. I really can cope with all this pressure, I promise you. I was reading the excellent Q magazine out again this month, and they have charts in there, but not the usual pop charts. They feature oddities and strange things, and this week they've got a chart of the most popular Rear Window stickers compiled by the AA, and you'll probably recognise some of these. I think it's okay to put car stickers in the window, my own feeling is, if they're to support a cause, you know, to support stopping experiments on animals or something like that, or supporting nuclear power or against nuclear power, depending on which side your bread is buttered, that's okay. But I can't stand the thing I cannot stand are these so-called jokey car stickers that people put up when they have this blind spot when they go into Halfords or some motor accessory shop and buy these things. And I suppose they may sort of be funny to these sort of people for the time they buy them, but when you've sort of been sitting behind cars with these absurd stickers in traffic for years and years and you still see the same ones, you really want to go out and smash their rear windscreen in because they are simply not funny. And in this chart of the most popular rear window stickers, the number one bestseller is the sticker that just says GB, which of course everybody puts on to try and pose that they've driven halfway around the world, some great exploration, when in fact they've spent 2 days in Boulogne, you know, driving around trying to get out of the one-way system and then come home again, but it impresses the neighbours. Also, there's these ones like Keep Your Distance and that sort of stuff, but as I say, these stupid ones like My Other Car's a Porsche, you know, When I Grow Up I Want to Be a Rolls-Royce, they all feature highly at number 5 and 6. Other stupid ones like Preserve Wildlife, Pickle a Squirrel. I'm probably disenfranchising half our audience here who've got these car stickers. Other ones, Sex Appeal, Please See Driver for Details. You usually see that one on the back of these huge juggernauts, these 50-ton juggernauts that have just driven over 10 continents. Some great big beefy chap wearing those on his windscreen, if you can wear them. And the least popular, number 20, and I seem to see this all around where I live, but then Berkshire, you know. It says, windsurfers do it standing up. That's very popular where I live. But just one other quick glance at the Q charts here. A really odd little oddity. There's a chart of the items that were thrown on stage at Bruce Springsteen's Madison Square Garden concert. And it was around Christmas time. And these were some of the things that were thrown on stage at a Bruce Springsteen concert. One bedsheet painted with the words Merry Christmas, Bruce Springsteen. One stuffed dog. I've often felt like throwing a stuffed dog. No. 5 Santa Claus hats, 3 of them stenciled Bruce. 1 box of 12 Twinkies, 1 box of 12 Hostess cupcakes. 3 2-foot Christmas stockings stenciled Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. All these things thrown on stage at Springsteen's concert at Madison Square Gardens. 1 18-inch Christmas card with 4 rubber gnome musicians taped onto it. Actually, I'm not sure if one of those probably wasn't Nils Lofgren and not a rubber gnome musician. 2 ordinary Christmas cards, 1 gift-wrapped package the size and shape of a shoebox, and finally, and perhaps most incongruously, 1 rubber duck. So I think the answer is don't appear on stage with Bruce Springsteen unless you wear a crash helmet. I think I'd stay well clear. That's another one of those tracks that you haven't heard for yonks and yonks and yonks, and sounds really good when you play it on the radio. Gary Wright and Dreamweaver. And I was just remembering, literally as it was fading, my mind suddenly went back, and I remembered I saw him at a Crystal Palace garden party in 1972. 15 years ago, but I was very, very young at the time. Exceedingly young. Those were great days, actually. I used to have some really good bands on at those things, and they were really big events, and lots of big bands all playing together. And I remember that one, I think it was Lou Reed and James Taylor were topping the bill. And I think the previous year, I saw Lindisfarne and Yes, the top billing acts there. Very good indeed. Anyway, what did you think of our post-election coverage tonight?
Mr. Speaker, sir, I do not think that the way in which the Honourable Gentleman puts his comments is a classic example of how to win friends and influence anyone.
Well, you can see our point. Good job, it's not television, that's all. That's Mike Oldfield and a track called Sheba, and I suppose that would be classified as New Age music if it was coming out today. Made it. Right, well, this draws a close, finally and ultimately, to our post-election special. You'll be delighted to hear. Coming up next, the intrepid Birdman. Let me give you the address once more. Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London SE1, 4SL. That's our address. I'd like to hear from you this week, so do write to us at that very same address. And to finally round off our election bit, I thought we'd end with the words of Hilaire Belloc, who wrote the politician's epitaph. And I'm not sure who this would apply to this week. I'll leave you to make your own political judgment here. But he wrote, "Here, richly, with ridiculous display, the politician's corpse is laid away. While all of his acquaintance sneered and slanged, I wept, for I had longed to see him hanged." Well, I think I'll quit while I'm behind, as they say, and hope you can join me next time on Clockwork Wireless 90FM. Stand by for the intrepid Birdman. Cheerio.
We'd like to say that, in our opinion, it is not suitable for children or for those of you who may have a nervous disposition.
Bollocks!
Don't you understand? I want you back on the job just as fast as ever you can.
Well, take off that uniform. Take it off! And when you've got it off, put on something different, and I'll arrest you.
Hoist with my own petard, sighed Florence.
We are the masters of earth. We are the masters of earth. We are the masters of earth.
But the doctor must be taken alive. We must suffer for our past defeats.
I would do it. That power would set me up above the gods. And through the Daleks, I shall have that power.
If you're going to be a masochist, why not go all the way? Listen to the Intrepid Birdman Show on Clockwork Wireless.